like to thank your minister and the session here for inviting us along to be part of your Children's Day services. And it has been a terrific day. We have really enjoyed the program. And the boys and girls, you have all done really well. And all you workers, you've put in all that time and all that worry and all that fear. You can all now relax. It's all over. You can enjoy this part of the service. And that is, of course, until this time next year, where it all starts again. But boys and girls, if you sit up really well tonight, I have a story that I want to tell you. It's a wonderful story, and it comes from God's precious word. Anything that we would have to say tonight, we want to base it on the Bible. That's what we're here for. We're not here to entertain you, but we're here to bring you some wonderful truths from God's precious word. Now, before we get that far, I have got with me a bag with a few bits and pieces in it. And one of the first things I've got in this bag is this here. Let's have a little quick look. Do we see and get it out? It's this little fishing rod. Now, I noticed tonight, and I have to mention, there was a little bit of a dispute up in this area here during the offering. There was one young man, he wanted to go around the people twice. So I think we need to get him on the offering plate every week. And we'll give them this fishing rod, and they can do the whole place. And I'll tell you, these are the men that we want for the future. But we brought this little fishing rod. Now, there are no real fish in it, but there are some lovely sweetie fish. And as we're speaking tonight, I'm watching very carefully for some really wonderful sitting. Because as we sit, as you sit, and as I speak, well, every now and again, I might just do this here with my little fishing rod. I might just shoot it right over to somebody who's sitting really well. And then they can put their hand in and get a little fish. So there you go. Good girl. Maybe you don't like fish. What? There we are. This auntie was getting all excited. She thought it was her. Let's have another wee quick look. There's another. That man there. Look at that man there. Better give you one too. There we are. We're nearly out already. Some of you men get the one-pound coins ready. I'll give them out instead. Okay, we might have a few questions, so you sit up. Give us your best attention. Well, I think we have enough left. Okay, let's get going. Because tonight, boys and girls, as I said this morning, things are getting very summery. The weather's getting a little bit better now and again. And at this time of the year, well, something used to happen in our house, and I was very excited about it. You see, my mum, if the weather was good, she would call for me, and she would call for my big sister, and she would say, "Get your coats on." We always knew it was the summer whenever we got the coats on. And she would say, "Come on, we're going somewhere." And then she would go into the kitchen, and you could hear her fussling about. And she would bring out two bags like this. One was for me, and one was for my sister. Big bags of bread. And we were going somewhere really exciting, somewhere I love to go. Slip your hand up if you think you can tell me, where were we going with our coats on in the middle of the summer with two big bags of bread? Let's have a little look to see here. Let's go a little bit further down near the back. That man there. Where? Oh, no, but I'll give you a sweet anyway. You're just getting me to walk. You're just having a laugh at me. You know rightly what the answer is. Imagine going to the beach with two bags of bread. Is your mummy and daddy here? I wouldn't like to be going out with a day with you lot, I'm telling you. Bag of bread. Anybody else? Come on now, you have to think really hard. Where would you go with a bag of bread? Somewhere really exciting. Let's see, would some of these girls know? What do you think? Give her a hand. Where else? Big playground voice. How we going? What? Oh, brilliant. All them people are laughing, but they didn't know. They didn't know any idea. We were going to feed the ducks. Did you help her, did you? I thought you did. There we are. One left. Okay. We're getting low. Okay. Well, we were going to feed the ducks. Now, whenever I was small, even yet, I loved to go to feed the ducks. Step your hand up if you've ever went to feed the ducks. Gone to feed the ducks. There's a man up there. And then you took the gun and bang, bang. What? Okay, a whole lot of people have fed the ducks. There must be some really big ducks here in Portadown. Well, whenever I was small, I loved to feed the ducks. Now, I wasn't so keen on those swans and them big geese. They were a different boat. They weren't very nice. But I loved to feed the ducks. And whenever we went down to feed the ducks, I was so excited that I would open the bag and I was throwing full rounds of bread out into the pond. And before I knew it, all my bread was gone. Not much fun in the duck pond with no bread, George, not. He's sitting up really good. That's great. My sister, she was a lot more clever than I ever was. She would pull a little bit of bread off here, a little bit off there, and a wee tiny bit, and her bread lasted for ages, but mine was all gone. But I love to feed the ducks. Maybe there's no duck pond where you live, but there's something else you can do, especially in the winter. When the wee birds don't have much food, whenever we were small, after we had our breakfast, after we got our lunchbox packed away, after we got our uniform on, after we got our teeth cleaned and our shoes on, and our hair brushed, Mummy, let us put some bread out for the birds in the garden. Have you ever done that? Yeah. And we had a backyard. We'd throw out the bread out in the backyard. Maybe even a patio or something. I don't know what they have nowadays. All nice things. And we had to be really quiet. And we put the bread out all over the backyard. And we waited. And all the birds came down. Did you ever do that, did you? Feed the birds. It's really good, isn't it? There's lots of them come in there. Well, boys and girls and mums and dads, I want you just for a split second, think to yourselves, what would it be like instead of you feeding the birds? If the birds came and fed you, do you think that could happen? That's strange, isn't it? Well, I want to speak tonight, just for a few minutes, about the time whenever God sent the birds to feed a man called Elijah. And if you want to read this story for yourself, it's found there in 1 Kings chapter 17. And you can remember that. Just think 17. That's the age I am. And you remember where to find it. Okay, 1 Kings 7. You go home tonight and you read that. Are you at school tomorrow? That's a pity I'm not. Well, I am actually. I am. I'm one of the few people who can say I have school in the morning. But listen, before we go any further, would you children like me to let you into a secret? Well, all the mums and dads are here, so I want the mums and dads, fingers in the ears for a minute or two, because boys and girls, would you like to be able to stay up 10 minutes past your bedtime? You would? You won't? You don't? You want to go to bed early? No? Okay, I thought you did. Okay, sit up now and I'll tell you the secret. If you want up an extra 10 minutes tonight, just as you clean your teeth, jammies on, head on the pillow, just say, Mummy, forgot to read. What was it again? First what? Chapter. Forgot to read that. And you get your mummy to read it. And by the time she's found it and read it all, you've had an extra 10 minutes. Isn't that good? Good. We'll do that then. Okay. Right. Let's keep going, because this is a wonderful story. It's a story about a man, a very godly man, and his name was Elijah. But unfortunately, the king of the time, he was the very opposite. Very ungodly man. And being the king, he was having a very poor influence on the people of the land. Mums and dads, what kind of influence have you over your children? A good influence or a bad influence? Employers in the meeting, what kind of influence are you having over those who work for you? A good influence or a bad influence? But this king was having a very bad influence over the people, and he was leading them into sin. And God, again and again, using Elijah, spoke to that king, and he wouldn't listen. Now, there's somebody in the meeting tonight, and you're determined not to listen. And you might not listen tonight, and you might come and go and hear nothing. And God might need to take a further step in your life to make you listen. You see, this king wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. And God had to take him the extra mile. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're wondering why I have problems in my life, why there are difficulties, why the work situation is so hard, why maybe the Lord, you haven't been listening to him and he's taking you down a pathway because he wants you to listen. And God said to Elijah, go and tell the king, because he won't listen, that for 3.5 years there's going to be no rain. And there's going to be a famine. And there's going to be hardship. And there's going to be strife. And there's going to be trouble. And he needs to listen. And so that's what God did. And Elijah went to the king. And he told him these things. And I'm sure for several days afterwards, maybe running into a few weeks, the king would have opened the royal curtain and looked out. And the grass was green. And he laughed it off. And things were seemed to be okay. The river seemed to be plentiful. He took no heed. But then when the famine began to bite in and the hardship came, it was different. But in the meantime, God took Elijah away. And God looked after Elijah even in this hard, difficult time. And God placed Elijah beside a little brook. I see a girl sitting really good. Let's have a wee look here to see. She's sitting really, really super duper. That girl there. There you go. She's sitting that good, she didn't even know it was her, I'm telling you. Okay, well listen. There was Elijah beside this little brook of lovely water. But he needed food. And so God instructed the ravens to come twice a day to feed Elijah. And I can just see him sitting there with his knife and his fork and his big napkin on, looking up into the sky. And there the ravens came, and they brought flesh, and they brought bread to feed him twice a day. Talk about Chinese takeaway. This was terrific. This was the business. And there he was. And the Lord remembered him every day. What a miracle. We can close our Bibles and say, what a miracle, and leave it there. So it was. But I believe there's more to this story, and I want to try in the few minutes that we have to look a little bit more in depth. And I want to look tonight, boys and girls, at these ravens. Because these ravens are a picture of every one of us in this meeting. And I want to try and explain how that's the case. Now, boys and girls, I need you to do something for me just now. I need you to really sit still. And I don't want you fixing your hair. And I don't want you fiddling about. And I don't want you laughing. Because I have brought with me my little raven. And he doesn't like anybody laughing at him. And he doesn't like anybody making sudden moves. And he doesn't like any noise. You have to be really quiet till you get him out here. He's sleeping in this bag. There he is, wrong way around. Oh, there he is. He makes a bit of noise now and again. What do you think of that? I'm telling you. I want to speak for a minute or two, boys and girls, about the raven. And I want for you to listen and to learn. You see, God had to do a miracle to make these ravens serve him. God had to change the nature of these birds so that they could please him and have his smile upon them and could be useful to them. I wonder, has God wrought any changes in your heart and life? Let's have a look at what God did to the raven. Because you need the same thing. First of all, girls and mums and dads, this bird here, by nature, is a very selfish bird. That means it just thinks about itself. And it doesn't care about anybody else. This bird will fight over the smallest scraps of food. It'll chase other birds away. I was just having a quick glance in my Bible there tonight to remind me where it was. But in Job chapter 38, the very last verse, God reminds us of this. Even the little chicks in the nest, when there's plenty of food at times, the mother and father raven are so selfish that they don't even bother feeding the little ones. Selfish. And God had, by a miracle, to take away all the selfishness out of these birds so that they would bring flesh and that they would bring bread to feed Elijah. That was a tremendous thing. But boys and girls, what God did in the nature of this little bird, he needs to do in the hearts of every one of us. Maybe there's a selfish heart in the meeting. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's greed, or maybe it's an old bitterness. But God is well able to remove all of those things so that we might be of use to him. I wonder, do you know that change in your heart and life today? Do you know anything of God's great work of salvation? The plan that he laid out, the Savior that he sent, our blessed the Lord Jesus who died for us on the cross. But not only that, secondly, this bird, this little raven, is unclean. It's a filthy, dirty bird. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, most importantly, are you listening? God says so. And when God says something, that's final. No more argument, no more debate, no more questioning. God's word is final. We must remember that. The Bible says God's word is forever settled in heaven. And God says that these birds are unclean. And that's it. How do I know that? Well, if you go there to the book of Leviticus and about the chapter 11 and you were to read down through it, there's a whole list of all these animals. Some are clean and some are unclean. And our little friend, the raven, he is among the ones that are unclean. But secondly, we know that this bird is unclean by its actions and its attractions. You see, a raven is a scavenger, and that means it'll fly about in the sky, and it's not particular what it'll eat. It'll eat absolutely anything, and it'll come down, and it'll pick and hook through any old kind of garbage and rotten vegetation and old dead carcasses. It's not particular, and it'll eat and hook through everything. That's the way it is, and it's attracted to those things. But God had to take away all that old filthiness and dirt away from it. It couldn't bring old, filthy, rotten vegetation and carcasses to Elijah. It brought bread and flesh, that which was wholesome and good. And tonight, you and I, we are the same as this little bird. The attractions that this little bird have are the attractions that we have. The things that it runs after that are filthy are the same things that we as sinners run after that are filthy and rotten. And of course, God also says in his precious word that we're all unclean. There's none righteous. No, not one. We need to know that. We need to accept it. Don't be blanking it out. I can remember in unsaved days running after things that were rotten and filthy. And I thought I couldn't live without them. And I hungered after them. And they were doing me harm and doing others harm. What a disappointment. But God needs to take all that old filthiness and desire for that which is wrong away and lead us into those things that are wholesome, that we may bring to others things that are wholesome and lead them to the Lord. But thirdly and lastly, we're nearly finished. I'm glad this isn't a big turkey. My arm would be killing me, wouldn't it? Okay, lastly, and with this we're finished. This bird by nature is a fearful bird. You boys and girls know. Any more of these left? I better not ask any more questions. I'm out of sweeties. Okay. You boys and girls know that whenever you're in the playground having a bit of fun, maybe at your school there's a couple of trees, and sometimes the wee birds will be up in the trees and they're watching. You know what they're watching for? They're watching for you to gobble down your break because you want to get playing. And you're gobbling it down that much, but you're flying out here and here and here. And the wee birds are watching for it to fall on the ground. And it'll drop from the tree onto the fence, and maybe onto the ground, and it's after that wee crumb. But boys and girls, do you know what happens? If you see the little bird and you step over towards it, doesn't it fly away? It's because it's afraid of you. It's full of fear. Now, this bird's much bigger, but it's the exact same. It'll fly away. By nature, this bird would never dream of going anywhere near any man, never dream of bringing a bread and flesh to Elijah. But God had to change all that. God had to take away all those fears. Maybe you have fears tonight. Or you'd love to be saved, but you think, I could never keep that. Let me alleviate that fear. God does the keeping. And maybe you're thinking, well, I would love to get saved, but you have that fear of man in your heart and life. And you think, what do my friends in school say? I would have to tell them. What would my workmates say? Let me tell you, don't you worry about those things. The Lord is a way on ahead of you. The Lord is preparing the way. The Lord will give you the strength and the grace for tomorrow. He'll give you boldness when you need it. But let me tell you, you know what these little birds had to do? These little birds had to take the Lord at His word and believe and trust in Him that all would be well. And of course, so it was. And so it is with you tonight. You need to, in your heart, believe in God, take Him at His word, trust Him for salvation, that all will be well, and that one day you'll go to be with Him forever in that wonderful place called heaven. Oh, to reject them would be to be lost forever. Oh, what a tragedy that would be to leave this meeting tonight and to go out into a lost eternity. And let me tell you, the tone of this meeting and the words of this meeting and the little testimony by the young fellow earlier on will ring in your ears for all eternity. And you have missed out. What a tragedy. Boys and girls, we're nearly finished, but with this I want just to say, I'm so glad that God used a raven. I'm glad that He didn't use some great big majestic eagle to come and to feed Elijah. One that would have power and swiftness and can soar mightily into the air and has no fear. I'm more like this little bird. And in your heart of hearts, so are you. I'm so glad that God didn't choose some wonderful, beautifully colored peacock or other bird of a delicate pattern, an attractive look, because I'm just ordinary. And so are we all. I'm so glad that God used the little raven. But let me tell you tonight, for if you're ever to be of any use to the Lord, if you're ever to have a smile upon your life, if you're ever to be saved, you need to be like this little bird. Come under the will and authority of God. He must increase and we must decrease. We must bend the knee. We must confess our sin. We must come the way of the cross. The Savior has paid the price. And oh, that you would come tonight. And the God that did this miracle can do the same miracle in your heart and life. Will you let Him in? Will you come and will you trust Him? Will you make Him your own? Boys and girls, I hope that you do, and that you will, even tonight. And the next time, boys and girls, when you head out to do down to the duck pond to feed the ducks and to take their bread, will you remember this story? Will you remember what God did? Will you ask yourself, am I living in obedience like the raven, or am I living in sin? Anna, thank you so much for listening so well. And I'm going to hand just back over to your minister to close the meeting. Thank you very much.